Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and I've been looking forward to this hour and this conversation. I really appreciate you being here with us. I think you're going to really enjoy the guest we have for you this hour, Kimberly Cook. She's the author of Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. She's also the host of the popular podcast, The Dignity of Women. Her marriage workbook on the virtues earned her the Catholic Writers Guild Seal of Approval. She's got another workbook for single women that's used internationally. She's got an MA in systematic theology, and she runs KimberlyCook.me, where you can find all of her stuff, including connections to The Dignity of Women. Kimberly Cook, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Cy.
So, Motherhood Redeemed. How long? Let's just start here. Like, how long is this story of the kind of loss of a proper understanding of motherhood and maternal love? How long has this been going on?
That's a great question. Well, what I try to unfold in my book is looking at American feminism specifically. So there's certainly influences from other countries, from England, Mary Wollstonecraft. But what I look at is American history. So starting with some of the early influencers like Abigail Adams and Lucretia Mott, and then specifically in the 19th century on. So I really take it back pretty far in history. And just look at how the original ideas of women's rights started and then how they kind of morphed and changed throughout the ages, throughout the generations. And really, there's goods and bads in all of that. So it's not necessarily saying that it started very pure in the 19th century and it was uncorrupt. It wasn't until the sexual revolution that things went off the rails. There's really good and bad in each, but you can see how, you know, some of the bads maybe with the sexual revolution got louder and things like that. So I just explore all the sides throughout our American history, really, as women and the rights, the fight for the rights for women and how it turned into what it is now.
So I can imagine. Well, actually, I don't have to imagine, because many times I've actually heard this argument. Look, feminism is not putting down motherhood. You're twisting that. If you want to be a mother, be a mother. Nobody's saying don't be a mother. Do you buy that?
Well, I don't buy that because, I mean, if you look, and obviously somebody can say I'm a feminist and I'm a mother and I champion motherhood or whatever, and that's fine. There's going to be a million different individual takes or people that say, I don't agree with that. But if you're just looking at the general understanding of feminism and the term and the ideology that goes with that, you have to understand that at the turn of the century, when we went from the 19th to the 20th century, and they really coined the term feminism and came up with a grounded ideology and a mission, that was really built on the back of voluntary motherhood. So like when we look at Margaret Sanger specifically, that, you know, we need to introduce birth control and women shouldn't have to be shackled by motherhood. They need to be able to choose when and how many children to have. And that kind of opened the door. And that wasn't saying you shouldn't have any children, but it started to open this door that women need to have this voluntary motherhood because they should get out there in society and they shouldn't be shackled. There became this understanding of children and domesticity and home life as this ball and chain. So that is really what feminism introduced, was this idea that that's what's holding us back as women. That's why we don't have the grounding that we need in society. That's why we're not getting our foothold in society, is because of these children and our position in the home. So that's when it was really introduced with Margaret Sanger and that time period. And then it just really grew from there. And when you look at one of the biggest influencers leading up to the sexual revolution, that was Simone de Beauvoir. And she wrote The Second Sex, which is still considered the feminist Bible. She wrote that in 1949. And she was a French philosopher, but had a tremendous influence on American society and especially American feminism. And so she really had a lot of communist undertones, and she believed that women should absolutely not be allowed to stay at home with their children. That shouldn't even be a choice given to women. So women, you know, it was this communist idea that women have to go out into the workforce. Men have to go out into the workforce. The children have to be raised by the society, you know, the system. And we have to have that separation of the family in order for everyone to be free and for the society to be productive.
Kimberly Cook is our guest. Her book, Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. And in all of this, you would suggest, and I cannot imagine that everybody likes this, that the Catholic Church has a better, fuller, truer, more realistic view of womanhood than all of this modern feminism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that a lot of people looking in, maybe not Catholic or maybe having a lot of questions about their Catholicism and especially the view of women in Catholicism, anybody who's struggling with those challenges, I'm sure doesn't like to hear that. And what I would say is it's a misunderstanding of the truth of Catholicism, yeah. Which I was definitely there at one point in time myself.
Yeah.
And when we look at the women in the Gospels, and when we look at, of course, the Blessed Mother and the reverence that the church gives to her and the reverence that the church gives to women, specifically their vocation of motherhood and how that is such an elevated position. And to have that sanctuary in the home, to keep that sanctuary, it's certainly not what was fed to so many women through, especially, again, the sexual revolution and way before that, where it was this idea that you're shackled, that as Betty Friedan said, staying at home, it's a comfortable concentration camp. That was her way of putting the American housewife into a box, and to say that, you know, you're just in this comfortable concentration camp and all you can really do, because you really do nothing as a housewife, is just redecorate a million times, buy new throw pillows, rearrange the furniture, because you have no purpose in the home. And so again and again, women heard this in some of the most popular books. I mean, Betty Friedan's 1963 book, The Feminine Mystique, was a bestseller. And it radically changed the American suburban housewife culture. So this has been something that for a long time, the culture has been going against what the church has been saying. And again, it is hard to hear this opposing idea and to not think that the church is just trying to maybe brainwash women to get them to stay home or keep them out of society or whatever else, you know, might seem like a diabolical trick. But when you truly get to the core of these things, it's, are you happy? Are you fulfilled? And a lot of times women who are living their vocation to the fullest, and not to say that they can't work outside of the home or have other things in society, as John Paul II talked about so much, women influencing society. But when you're really putting your vocation first and your motherhood first, there is a fulfillment, not to say that it's easy, but there is a fulfillment that hits to your core, in as in a lot of other things with Catholicism.
888-318-7884, our number. You're welcome to call whether you agree or disagree. 888-318-7884. Particularly, love to hear from folks who would sincerely like to know the Catholic view on feminism, the Catholic view on how men and women are made, and what therefore makes men and women happy. 888-318-7884. Once again, our guest is Kimberly Cook. She's the author of Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. Right back with your calls for Kimberly Cook right after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
How many times have you said to yourself, if only? If only I had a better job. If only my friends cared more. If only my family understood. I used to want these things too. But then one day I asked myself, if I only reconnected with God and went to church, how would my life change? So I did, and I found real answers and the peace I had wanted all along. You can too. Find what you've been missing at CatholicsComeHome.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our number 888-318-7884. You're always welcome to get in on the conversation here, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you agree with us or not. 888-318-7884. As I said at the top of the hour, this is an hour I've been looking forward to. Kimberly Cook, a very fine writer and speaker and the author of Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The main thesis of the book is about feminism negatively influencing our cultural understanding of motherhood. You say that the Catholic Church has an exalted place for motherhood, and you kind of walked us through some of the stuff of how this progression happened, but you specifically point to four stages of feminism. You want to just kind of name those, the four stages of American feminism that got us to where we are now?
Absolutely. Well, they're often known as the four waves. And the first one, again, is looking back at the four mothers, I guess you could say, particularly in the 19th century. We look at Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, who, of course, are who we think of when we think of women gaining the right to vote in this country. So I look a lot at them in my book and examine what agitated them to activate for women's rights in the 19th century. And of course, we see, again, a lot of good things. They wanted women to have the right to vote. They wanted women to be able to have access to their children, because there was no custody for women of their own children. So if something happened, if the husband decided to leave his wife for another woman, or if there was some kind of a separation, or if he even died, the woman didn't automatically have any rights to her own children. That was all custody was to the husband. And so they really wanted to change that. Of course, education. They wanted women to be able to have education so that they could particularly teach was one of the things. In education, women were educators and men were educators, but men were given a certain amount of education, whereas the female teachers weren't. So they saw a lot of disparities. And one of the interesting things in that wave is that these women particularly wanted the women of that generation to have an education and to have these rights in order to be able to be more equipped as mothers, primarily, because that was their primary vocation. And they wanted them to be able to have the influence in society over their children, laws that would govern their children in the future and laws that would govern education, and to be able to be a companion for their husbands that were, you know, educated. And they made a lot of points for, not to say women to go out and take over society or take over the world, but really right where they were as wife and mother, all the points that were necessary and that were good for them gaining these footholds in politics and really equality as it was, and not to say equality as we really understand it now, because it has changed drastically. And so then we go into what I was talking about before, which is the second wave, and that's the voluntary motherhood. When we go to Margaret Sanger, when we change to the 20th century, the turn of the century, and there's a real revolution of women wanting birth control, wanting to not have as many children, or maybe not have children at all. And that goes into then the third wave, which is really the 60s and 70s sexual revolution. And then there's this free love and this idea that you don't have to be married at all. You can be single and have a fluid sex life and, you know, that women should really get out there in the work field and get an education, and that all of these things are almost necessary to be a complete woman before you get married, if you do decide to do that, that you really need to experience this period of singleness where you're working, you're getting some kind of education, you're experiencing different sexual situations with various people. And until you kind of experience this time period of exploration in all of those areas, you're not even really equipped to enter into a marriage or healthy adulthood. And then, of course, the fourth wave is where we find ourselves now. And that is that abortion is normal. Gender is just an idea. The family structure is fluid. There's no reality of femininity or masculinity, and fertility is utilitarian rather than a gift.
All right. So, if you could, I don't know if this is it, maybe this is an impossible task I'm giving you, but can you give a general Catholic response to all of that? The Catholic Church, in reply to all of this, the Catholic Church says.
Well, for me, Mulieris Dignitatum, which it was written by John Paul II, and it's the dignity of women, that to me speaks the most clearly. And I think John Paul II did it so well from the mouthpiece of the Catholic Church in explaining that what we really need to advocate for, more than talking about women's rights or equality or what is a woman, what is a man, and, you know, aren't we all just fluid, things like that. What we really need to get to the heart at is our dignity as human beings and how God created us. And I think that anthropological approach is what's so beautiful about the Catholic Church, is that we really take it to a relationship with God and how he created us. We are the created and he is the creator. And how did he create us, man and woman? And what is the beauty of that? What is the gift in that? And how were we made not only to be gift back to him, but also to each other? And so that's really the beauty of what John Paul II takes it to, because it's so easy in our culture to get into these political discussions of you can't say this or you can't say that, and you can't use these certain words to describe a woman or a man because they might not be comfortable with she, him, all of these kind of things, which is where we find ourselves. And what the church does is says, look at yourself as a child of God, look at yourself as a creator, a beloved man or woman endowed with these beautiful gifts in order to be in communion with other people. And that's the beauty of the gift. It's not something to put you in a box or to isolate you or to keep you down. It's not something that if you're created as a woman, you're lesser. And that's just something that you have to deal with for the rest of your existence. And, you know, for the rest of humanity, women will just always be kept down. And I think that when we look at it like that, it's no wonder that you do have a lot of anger and you do have a lot of defensiveness over rights and proper word use and things like that.
Again, our number 888-318-7884. Our guest is Kimberly Cook. Her book is Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. She's also the proprietor of the Dignity of Women podcast. You can find out all about her at kimberlycook.me. There are folks on the line for you. You feel ready to go to some questions, Kimberly?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's start with Kendall in Smithville, New Jersey. Kendall, thanks so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Kimberly Cook.
Sure. So I guess when I think of feminism, I think of it as, like, at its core being equality, and women having the same equal rights as men. And so for a lot of women, working outside of the home isn't financially a choice. They have to work outside of the home. And so women today, a lot of feminists are feminists and support equal rights for women because they see they're put at a disadvantage in the workforce. And so I guess what I'm trying to ask is, why for those women who are feminists, because they have experienced inequality in the workforce, why I don't think that's reflective any on motherhood at all. I think so. I guess just what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a great question. And of course, I want to acknowledge that many women do choose or need to work outside of the home, of course. And I would definitely look to Edith Stein on that, St. Edith Stein, who spoke about the need for women to be in all areas, to be teaching. I mean, she was a professor. So you look at the need for women to be teaching and for women to be in every field, you know, science or medicine or whatever it is. And what she said was to not try to be like men. And of course, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have equal pay or we shouldn't have equal vacation or things like that that haven't always been the case, of course. And those were necessary to fight for and to change. That kind of equality goes hand in hand with our dignity. If we're doing the same work, if we're adding the same to the workplace, then of course, we're not talking about one gender should be getting paid less than the other. And that is a fight that is a worthy cause to be fought. But what we're talking about, as Edith Stein said, is to be happy and to bring your gifts as women to each and every aspect of the world and to society. Because you're a woman, you bring something different than a man brings to that same field. And that's why we need both in all areas. That's why it, you know, originally Edith Stein or Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony were fighting for women to be in politics and to be in education. And unfortunately, Susan B. Anthony gave a speech to the women that were going out into the workforce. And she said, don't let your employers see you as women. Let them see you as workers. And that was the original way that women had to enter the workforce. I can do equal work as a man. Don't look at me as a woman. Look at me as equal to him. I can do the same thing he can. I can work the same hours. And that is not in accord with our dignity. Yes, we can do that, but we can do it differently because we are women. And that's something that society needs to respect, that women and men are different and they both bring gifts that are very different and unique and needed to each area. So I would say that I believe that, and Edith Stein believed that. And I don't think that that is something that the feminists have cornered the market on by any means. I think that is something that's in accord with our dignity as women. And I don't call myself a feminist, but people often ask me what I would call myself. And I always say I'm an activist for the dignity of women.
Kendall, I would like to get your response.
Yeah. So I guess I think that feminist has a very bad connotation kind of attached with it. It doesn't really mean there's nothing wrong with being a feminist. Like, there's nothing wrong with fighting for your own reproductive rights, fighting for equal pay, fighting for all of that. So certainly we should all be in every field of the workforce, and be able to be our authentic selves in that field. And at the same time, have the same rights, have the same pay as men. But I guess what I'm trying to say is each woman needs to strive to be her own authentic self, and she needs to find her purpose in life. And for some reason, I feel like you're kind of making the assumption that all women are going to be fulfilled through motherhood, when in fact, that's simply not true. A lot of women are very, very fulfilled in their careers, and they don't need a husband, they don't need children to be fulfilled in life or to be living God's purpose for themselves.
Kendall, hang on. I'm interested in your response to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, so first of all, I heard that you mentioned reproductive rights in there, and that is certainly something that when we're talking about abortion and birth control, is opposed to Catholic Church teaching. So I just want to point that out, first of all. And that is something that is really a cornerstone of the feminist argument and the feminist fight. So I just want to make that distinction between feminism and the Catholic understanding of the dignity of women. And then I will also respond in saying, I absolutely agree that we are not all called to physical motherhood by any means. God calls us to many different ways of living our lives and being fulfilled in that. We see that religious sisters, we see single women, and we see, of course, mothers, and each can be fulfilled in their own right. But we as women have basically a maternity that is innate within us. And that's something that we bring to the world throughout each of our vocations.
Kimberly, I gotta let you finish on the other side, just because we're right up against it. Right back.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kids' soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. You can see why I was looking forward to this hour, a chance to talk with Kimberly Cook, the author of Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love, and the host of The Dignity of Women, a very popular podcast. And you can find everything that Kimberly does over at kimberlycook.me. Kimberly, The Dignity of Women podcast, is there a special site for that?
Well, aside from just looking up any of the regular sites that podcasts are downloaded and found, you can just find it on my website.
I gotcha. I see. You see, I don't always know exactly how podcasts work. And then I think I asked an intelligent question, and Kimberly, she made the best of that. She's like, you mean everywhere where you can get podcasts? Yeah. Okay. That's how that works. Our number is 888-318-7884. I got to say thank you to Kendall. A very fine call helping us get some clarity on some things. And you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. The conversation has to do with feminism and a proper Catholic response to feminism. And Kimberly is uniquely or especially suited to do that. As I said, she's the author of Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. Again, the number 888-318-7884. I'm going to say thanks to Kendall, but I want to follow up with a question of my own, if I might. Then I'll go back to callers. Because when you talk about the dignity of women, and people say, well, you know, it's dignified for women to be in the workplace and all of that. It seems to me, and I would like you to help me with this, that a proper understanding of women in the workplace would actually recognize that I mean, as much as you and Kendall both said, well, women don't all have to be mothers, the majority of men want to be fathers at some point in their life. The majority of women. So when we're talking about most people, we're talking about people who want to be mothers and fathers. Now, the number of children might differ from person to person, but most people in the world would like to be a mother or father at some point in their life. Fathers, they're not carrying a baby around. They don't have an infant to nurse. They don't have the all the other maternal kind of obligations that come with that physical and psychological and spiritual bond that a mother has with a child. It seems to me that we should have more of a discussion about why is the workplace still so male-oriented that a pregnant woman or a woman who's nursing or a woman who just needs to be with her child while working is not accommodated at all in our culture, or very little accommodation is made for that. Maybe for one child, but what if she's got five?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's certainly something that needs to constantly be addressed and discussed. And when we look back at our own American society, it is shameful when we see that it wasn't until the late 70s that there was even a Pregnancy Discrimination Act that was passed, right, in which women couldn't be fired for getting pregnant. And so a lot of times you have these stories of women trying to hide their pregnancy to the bitter end, or sometimes all throughout, because they couldn't lose that job. And or they didn't want to lose it, or they wanted to hold on to it until the baby was born or whatever. But it's fairly recent in our history as a culture that we made a law banning that. And so when you look at the slow progress, I guess you would say, you can see that there's still a long way to go. And that's certainly something, if we want to uphold motherhood, if we want to uphold a woman's choice to be a mother, to have physical children, then that's something that we have to uphold in every area, whether it's the workplace or whether it's in education, a woman getting an education who has children, or whatever the case. It's certainly something, if we're a culture of life, that we want to make it not only possible, but something that we see as normal.
Yeah.
For a woman who is a mother and has children to be able to still accomplish these things.
Again, our number 888-318-7884. I guess here's my bottom line on that. It seems to me that the invention of the contraceptive pill short-circuited any need for American corporations or international corporations to treat pregnancy and motherhood as things that they had to account for. They don't have to account for that. Women are asked to change their bodies. They're asked to change the physical chemistry of their bodies so that major corporations don't have to change the workplace.
Absolutely. And I think when we look at a lot of these feminist steps that we call progress in society, we see that they actually contributed to women's undoing in a lot of these areas. And as you said, birth control was seen as this great freedom, and still today by many feminists is seen as a great freedom, that I'm no longer chained to my fertility, that this is something that I can control. And it's something that I can choose. And if there is a need where this doesn't work, I can always fall back on abortion after that. So these are things that we in society mark as progress. But when you really look, of course, at the church's understanding and interpretation of them, and again, when you look from a dignity perspective, when you look at, is this really upholding the true dignity of a woman, her body, her soul, her emotions, all of that, we would be lying to ourselves to say that that's really a freedom, or that's really been progressive for us in society. And as you said, it's something that has made us more capable of being, if you want to say, like men with the birth control pill, where we don't have to, basically account for our fertility. We can control it, and we can say, yes, I'll be back in the workplace. Yes, I can take care of this. Yes, I can regulate this. There's no chance of me getting pregnant because I'm on the birth control pill. And if that fails, you know, I have a backup plan. So count on me for the next business trip and the next 2 years promotion and all of this kind of stuff. And again, we're undoing it ourselves as well in not bringing that maternity into every area.
Let's go to Thomas in the United Kingdom, watching on YouTube Live. Thomas, go ahead with your question for our guest, Kimberly Cook.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. And I'd like to thank Catholic Answers for all that you do, especially for me who lives in a Protestant-heavy climate. It's really reassuring hearing someone preaching like you do. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas.
In terms of feminism, do you not think that we Catholics have a big fifth column? As in, I see a lot of Catholics argue from a point where they agree with a lot of the fundamental feminist philosophy, but perhaps they don't want to seem too extreme in its application. Like, I think the perfect example of that is abortion. We have a lot of Catholics who think that abortion up to a certain point is fine, which is, of course, a hideous crime, but it is the reality. So do you think we have such a threat within the church? If you do, how do we battle that? And as an extension, if I may, do you think that a true, genuine, traditionalist view of the role of women and men within society is even remotely viable to kind of preach in this political climate and cultural climate? Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Those are great questions. And I would say that I completely agree with you that a lot of Catholic women and men consider themselves feminists. And when they say that, they do embrace some of these things that I was talking about earlier and that you said as well, with abortion, contraception, gender being an idea and the family being fluid, because again, they see these things, whether it's in school, if they're younger, or as they get older through media, and they're hearing it on every single outlet that there is possible, that this is normal, that we need to be open-minded, that we need to embrace every kind of family, the family structure. It can mean anything these days, and any number of parents even these days. So it keeps on going further and further and pushing further and further the limits. The church continues to stand firm and never changes on that, and never has. It just continues to clarify the point that has always been there, the truth that has always been there. And so what you're saying is absolutely true, that there is certainly a threat in the church of these things. We see how many Catholics vote certain ways, certainly pro-choice. A lot of Catholics vote pro-choice. And so you know that there is a big embrace of the abortion culture, even in the Catholic Church, and that's certainly a threat. And that is certainly something that influenced me to want to write this book, because I wanted to address that specifically in the Catholic Church and to a lot of people who do consider themselves feminists, and they do consider that feminism something that is very modern, a modern idea of feminism. And then to your second point, is it even possible? It's certainly hard, but when we look through the church in all ages and we look through the martyrs and we look at the different times that the church went through trial and the saints that rose out of those times, I think that might be where we're headed. We might have the opportunity for that as Catholics now or sometime soon. And I think that we just can never lose hope. As John Paul II said, we have to have courage and we can't lose hope, and we can never stop speaking the truth ourselves, even if it just becomes a small fraction of us.
Thomas, thank you so much. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your excellent questions. Our guest is Kimberly Cook. Kimberly is the author of Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. Our number to talk with Kimberly, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Right back with more questions for Kimberly Cook right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN. The EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Time now, before we go back to Kimberly Cook for the self-promotion part of the program, because I have to read what Carrie tells me to read. And right now, my book, A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him, is available at 25% off at shop.catholic.com. Just use the promo code TEACHME when you check out at shop.catholic.com and get that 25% off. Teacher of Strange Things, a book to put in the hands of maybe those adult children who have lost touch with the faith. I have to say that, and I did say it here on the air, I've said it several times, that was one of my secret motives in writing it, was something that parents could have to say to the adult children who say, I'm just not interested in the Catholic faith that you brought me up in. Say, well, how about you read this book and we'll talk about it? Or maybe just read part of it. Bit by bit, we'll talk about it. Because a reintroduction to the person of Jesus is the surest way to bring people to the fullness of the celebration and life of the Catholic faith. Once again, 25% off A Teacher of Strange Things at shop.catholic.com when you use the promo code Teach Me. Our guest, a very fine writer, Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love, is her book, but you can also find lots of other writing at kimberlycook.me. She is also the proprietor of the podcast, The Dignity of Women, which she informs me you can just get wherever you get podcasts. That's how that works. So visit her at kimberlycook.me. Kimberly, a bunch more questions for you. Are you exhausted, or can we do more questions?
Let's go.
All right, let's go to Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on KVSS Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Kimberly Cook.
Thanks. Thank you, both of you, for taking my question. And here it is. You say women should have the same rights as men in the workplace and so on, that they have a special genius. Well, I've never heard a case from a feminist or anyone else saying that women should have the same responsibilities as men. For example, what about women registering for the draft? You know, there's the old saying, the men go to battle, the women go to class. And so if they work on all these jobs that men have always had and so on, well, then why not go to war?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So I certainly don't think that women should have to sign up for the draft. I also would hope that men wouldn't have to sign up for a draft. The idea of draft is a tough thing because it's people that are not volunteering. But I understand what you're saying as far as responsibilities in certain areas that women and men are maybe called to or best gifted. And I certainly don't like the idea of women in hand-to-hand combat, that kind of thing. And again, it's not because I don't think that women can't do certain things. I think that men, first of all, are naturally made more equipped to do heavy labor things and fighting. And again, when we look at just our nature as women and men, we see that we have a maternal nature or a paternal nature from our birth, really. This is something that, if we're healthy individuals, constantly grows and matures. And so when we look at the paternal nature, the nature of men, there is this natural ingrained protection. And so that is what I would look at for a virtuous man. A man of virtue has this element to protect others. And that is really what comes out when we look at things like war, when we look at serving in the military. And there's certainly jobs for women in that. There's certainly a lot of intelligence or other jobs for women. And when we look at times when men have gone to war in the past and women have taken over the jobs that men left behind because there weren't enough men to fill those positions, women really helped to fight the war through doing those things. And also, I think about the women who sent their sons, you know, who had to raise these sons and send them off to war. And so I think that women in war do a great deal from their point of things as well, whether they're, you know, if they're not there hand-to-hand combat or signing up for the draft or riding next to a man in a tank or something like that. I think that it's not fair to say that women aren't doing anything to do with the war, or they're not sacrificing, I guess would be a good word, that they're not sacrificing as much as men, because I certainly think that sometimes when you look at the mothers who lose their sons in wars, I would almost say sometimes that's a greater sacrifice for a mother's heart.
Our number, thanks, Tom. Thanks very much. 888-318-7884. We're talking about feminism and Catholic faith where they are compatible and where they are not compatible. Your call's welcome. 888-318-7884. It's interesting that in that answer to Tom and in so much of how you answer questions, this Catholic insistence that the nature of a man and the nature of a woman, while we're fundamentally equal and share the same, you know, being in the image and likeness of God, that we don't share the same everything. We're not the same. And so just sameness is not equality. That's really that's the message I'm getting from you.
Absolutely. And I know that that is so hard to communicate sometimes, and it's not very popular. People want to hear that we are equal across the board in every single area. We should be able to do every single thing exactly the same. And that's why even now in society, we're getting into the issue of men want to have babies, you know, and women don't, and things like that. And so you have this confusion and this anger again, why isn't my body capable of doing this thing that I want it to do that is specifically meant for the opposite sex? So our equality has really pushed us to this point where it almost seems unfair that we're in the body that we were given, and ergo, we can't do certain things such as have a child if we're a man. And so it may have sounded ridiculous a generation or two ago, but this is really the fight that we're having and the conversation that we're having, not only in society or politically, but even medically, you know, with what we call medical advancements. So,
indeed. Let's go to another caller. Thanks, Tom, for that question. Let's go to Michelle in New York. In York, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. I apologize, Michelle. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Kimberly Cook.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate this topic, and I wish I could, you know, talk to you for hours. So much of what you're saying, you know, resonates with me. But my question is, and I might have missed this at the beginning of the show, so I apologize. But my question is, when we're defining feminism, where is that line, like, between someone who's like a true feminist and someone like me who just thinks that, well, women should have the right to vote and women should have the right to have a job and be paid equal, and women should have the right to choose who they want to marry versus, like, you know, some cultures have arranged marriages. So kind of where do we draw that line? Because I do think that women should have some rights, you know?
Right. So is that feminism? Is that what you're asking? Like, is that feminism, or does the word mean something in addition to that? Am I getting the question about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Kimberly?
Absolutely. I don't think, again, that you have to be a feminist to believe that women should be able to choose who they marry, or that women should be able to get paid the same as a man if they're doing the same job, or that women should have the right to vote. Any of these sort of things doesn't automatically mean that you are a feminist if you believe those things. Because again, the Catholic Church would advocate and has always advocated for those things. And that's something else that I point out in my book. Through the generations and through the centuries, as we look back, the Catholic Church is always the voice of reason. And no matter which way polarizing that society goes from one side of the pendulum to the other, the Catholic Church is always right there speaking the truth. And again, the Catholic Church is always advocating for that kind of equality that you're talking about right there, that all persons, women or men, or whatever race or ethnicity or wherever you come from, anything that is basically arbitrary, if you are a human being, you deserve to be treated with respect and with dignity. And that goes into all areas of equal pay, of being able to have a voice in society with a vote, and on and on. So I would say that there is a big difference between being a feminist and being a Catholic. And that is what I say, is that I don't need to justify those things, because if I'm truly living my Catholic faith, if I'm looking to the saints and the way that they treated others, the way that they treated the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich, if you look at that, there's a dignity that they saw in all people, which of course would advocate for that fairness and that equality in all areas of life. So I think that there is a deceptiveness in the term feminism, because women think that if they don't call themselves a feminist, that they're in some way a pushover, or they want to go back to the dark ages, or they don't want to have a right to vote, or they want to be pushed around. And that's certainly not the truth. And as well, men, I think, even feel that they have to call themselves feminists, or else they're bigots, they're misogynists, and, you know, they want to keep women at home and out of the workplace or out of the political ring. So there's a lot of pressure and bullying that has come out of this term. And it's almost like you have to accept it in order to be seen with this certain respect in society. And that is what I'm trying to prove is incorrect.
What do you think, Michelle?
That is really a fantastic answer, and really, for me, hits the nail on the head. Like, we can believe these things as, you know, basic rights without calling ourselves feminists. So thank you. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. In a certain way, it almost seems like a way to take credit for, like, I feel like a modern feminist of this fourth wave that you described sees themselves in continuity with the women who were suffragettes, but there's a kind of elbowing out other women, like we're keeping that tradition alive and you're not.
Yes, it really goes both ways. I mean, the suffragettes were very much pro-life for the most part. So I think that sometimes the modern feminists try to silence the original suffragettes, at least that part of them. And I talk in my book a whole chapter on Susan B. Anthony and whether she was pro-life or pro-choice, because there's been this fight through the generations. Both sides want to claim Susan B. Anthony as their role model, but yet there is enough compelling evidence and proof that she was, in fact, through and through pro-life. And so I think that part of the suffragettes, the modern feminists really want to silence. So they want to look at the vote, but don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah, amen. Right, exactly. Kimberly Cook has been our guest. I highly recommend her book, Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. I'm sure you will like her podcast, The Dignity of Women. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. And you can visit her at kimberlycook.me. Kimberly, it's always great to have you here. Will you do it again sometime?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cy.
All right. Thank you very, very much. Tomorrow we got Trent Horn for 2 hours. And that's always fun, but it's going to be an open forum. And we don't usually do 2 hours of open forum with Trent. So it'll be fun to get to hang out with Trent. And he'll take questions from anybody, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you agree with us or not. Your calls are welcome here. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.